Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to envision world healing, world peace, and having food distributed to all. Focusing our attention on the present moment, envision a bright light moving up your spinal pathway like a spinning silver disc lighting up your back, all the way up, in through the back of your neck, the back of your head, and the top of your head. Focusing our attention on the point between our eyebrows, know that I speak these words for me and for you in the I person. There is one presence, one power, one God, the fullness of wisdom, creativity, unconditional love, being omnipresent. It expresses not only around me, but in me, through me, and as me now. As the wave is to the ocean, so am I in relation to the infinite presence and power. Divine wisdom, divine order, divine orchestration and creativity contains the perfect solution, the perfect answers to any and all challenges. Today I live in the conscious realization that the strength, the courage, the faith, the understanding and willingness, the enthusiasm and joy, power and love already reside fully within me as the Spirit of God. It illumines my mind, regenerates my body, inspires me with creative ideas, empowers my constructive actions, and harmoniously arranges all circumstances in my life. This realization propels me to actualize and move forward to live my potential and calling. This realization propels me to fully actualize, making a difference in people's lives and in our world. I'm thankful for this conscious realization this morning. I'm thankful for each person gathered here in spiritual community. I'm thankful for our world and universe and our relationship to them. Most of all, I am thankful for life itself, and so it is, and it is so. Thank you. My topic this morning is ridding the yeah buts. Ridding the yes but. First of all, I want to read to you out of the glossary from the Science of Mind textbook written by Ernest Holmes, founder of Church of Religious Science, New Thought denomination within New Thought. Affirmation, this is in the glossary. Affirmation. To affirm anything is to state that it is so and to maintain this as being true in the face of all evidence to the contrary. Human thought can only affirm, for even at the moment of denial, it is affirming the presence of that which it denies. Repeating an affirmation is leading the mind to that state of consciousness where it accepts that which it wishes to believe. Why did I read that? Yes, but is an affirmation. Did you ever think of it that way? Not a very powerful one, but it's an affirmation nonetheless. And it's used very often, sometimes by people daily, and it's one of the most limiting and debilitating affirmations that humans use. So my purpose this morning is threefold. What does yes, but really mean in our life? What is it really saying? Number two, I'll give a number of examples. Of course, not all of them. We make them up as we go along in life. And number three, in the awareness of what it really means, and in the awareness of, you know, knowing when we're doing that, using that affirmation, three, there's probably more, but I want to address three conscious doings that we can do to eliminate or rid the yes buts in our life, okay? So first of all, yes. What does yes mean? Well, when we're saying yes, but, we usually say yes to seemingly agree. And sometimes it's not to make waves, and sometimes it's not to get into an argument. We just say yes, and then comes the but. What does the but mean? That's our sellout, of course. It's a self-imposed limitation. It reveals our belief system. Did we ever think of that that way? It reveals our belief system. So just really be conscious of when you're saying yes, but, and what it reveals to you. It shows our acceptance level or non-acceptance level. It reveals our permitting level, what we're allowing, what we're permitting in our life. It's something like, you know, when you've got a garden hose and you've got full throttle and the water's coming out, it's like the Spirit of God is coming out, and then all of a sudden you get a kink in the hose and all of a sudden it goes down to a dribble, if that. It may point to something we're nursing, rehearsing, or cursing in our life, but maybe we're not saying it quite that way, and it certainly is a self-imposed limitation. Did you ever look at it this way? It's a form of procrastination. Looking at David Hawkins' chart of calibration of consciousness, of course, victim is way under 200. Yes, but can really point to us having a role in that particular area, the role of victim. And it may be a form of attention seeking. It may be a form of wanting to get sympathy or wanting to get pity. Wow, that's quite a bit about the butts. Somebody said, get your butt out of the way. You know? This yes but goes hand in hand with when then. You know the when thens? I was reading Eckhart Tolle's book, The New Earth, and he said this, and I'm quoting, the waiting to start living syndrome is one of the most common delusions of the unconscious state. Wow, those are really strong words when I read them. And then another quotation is, at the core of all utopian visions lies one of the main structural dysfunctions of the old consciousness looking to the future for salvation. Now, when then? First, we usually say, what, but, yes, but, and then, well, when then? Sometimes that follows the yes, but. Not always. Today, you'll never be the same after being here today. You know, because of being here today, I'm planting within you that conscious awareness of, oh my gosh, I just said yes, but. Or I just thought it. Sometimes we just think it and we don't say it. And the yes, but goes on in our minds, yes, but, and then we come out with our belief system. Why it can't happen. I remember at a New Thought conference, one of the key speakers said, yes, but is like I can't, and the can't is the crucifixion of I can. Woo, that's pretty strong words too. All right, so let's just look at just a couple of examples. I'd like to do that. You fill it in. But I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't have a sitter. Is that the laugh of recognition? And then what goes on in our mind, too, is what would people think, or what would people, how would they think of me if I did that, or whatever I'm saying that I can't right now? Somebody could say, well, I'd like to be a concert pianist, I'd like to be a doctor, I'd like to be a lawyer, or you fill it in, and then somebody would say, but I'm too old. It would take 7 years and then I'll be whatever. Then I'll be 58, let's say. Well, how old would you be in 7 years anyway? 58. Without the whatever you're saying, but to. I really like what Eckhart Tolle says in his book about old age. In our civilization, which is totally identified with the outer and ignorant of the inner dimensions of spirit, the word old has mainly a negative connotation. To avoid the word, we use the terms elderly and senior. Why do some people consider old useless? And then he goes on for a couple pages, and then he makes this statement. When the ego is no longer identified with the return movement in a person's life, old age or approaching death becomes what it's meant to be, an opening into the realm of spirit. On the new earth, old age will be universally recognized and highly valued as a time of flowering of consciousness. Well, how many of you are willing to stand in that? I'm in the flowering of consciousness. For those of you who are still lost in the outer circumstances of their lives, it will be a time of late homecoming when they awaken to perhaps to their inner purpose. For many others, it will represent an intensification and a culmination of the awakening process. So, you know, how do we hold aging, and I don't even like the term getting old. What do you term old? You know, probably when we were young, we thought people that were 40 were old. you know? And then we thought, well, 60 or 65 is old. And I find myself now when people tell me that maybe their parents are getting on or in you know, getting ready to make their transition, and I ask how old they are. And if they say 80 or 90, I'm looking in my mind and I'm thinking, you know, well, 90 might be old for that generation. I don't think it's old for our generation. Where do you make that distinction for old? And where do you allow your age to stop you from doing something, going somewhere, being something, whatever? So it's something like that. I'd like to learn something, but I'd like to travel, but you fill it in. Sometimes people use the reason or excuse, but the kids, but my husband, but my wife, but my girlfriend or boyfriend, but my parents, like that. Remember many, many years ago, before I took as many seminars as I have taken, I still have the friend, but she lives in Vancouver. She was telling me about a course of instruction. Some of you in the audience have taken it. And within me, I wanted to take it. But I said, yeah, but, and I can't even remember what the heck I said to her. What my but was. And she said to me, what if this course of instruction removed that what you said? That barrier that you are holding as a barrier. Oh, I remember what I said. I said, I'm paraphrasing now. I knew my husband at the time, Norman, would probably resist my going there. I had to travel. We lived in Edmonton. We had to travel to Vancouver and stay there a week. And it was two weekends back to back. And you know, a lot of butts there, you know. And she said, well, what if by taking this course of instruction, your life was transformed to the point of that would no longer be consideration for you for anything, never mind about taking workshops. She had my attention. And I did take the course, and it did remove that. But what I also realized was, if any of you are in relationship with anyone that is bucking a little bit, maybe even you coming to the center, sometimes that happens. Are you on to that center again? Taking workshops? What are you going to spend all that money for? Does it make a difference or whatever? A lot of times, what is happening in the individual, not always, but what might be happening in the individual, is that they may have an unconscious fear that you will move ahead of them in consciousness. They may not even language it that way in their own mind. But they have a fear that you may grow to the point where you may not any longer want to be there in relationship with them. That's a huge fear that they may have. So one of the things that I said to Norman was at the time, I said, I'm taking these seminars and workshops, sure, to improve myself, but also to enhance our relationship and for us to grow together and for us to get through this blended family stuff. You know, part of that was absolutely accurate. So I just throw that in for you if you're ever going through something like that. Sometimes people say, I'd like to be healthy, but the doctor said. I told you a few weeks ago of a friend of mine that phoned from the mainland, and she was really upset because the doctor told her that she had high blood pressure and scared the daylights into her, telling her what all she could have and that she could die at any moment, and she was borderline going to have a stroke. And, you know, and I said, well, you know, I'd go to a different doctor. I wouldn't go to a doctor that frightened me like that. So she did. And she's still going to an MD also, and she went to a naturopath. And she phoned me the other day, and happier than all get out. And she's got it lowered very, very naturally without even taking medication that this first doctor wanted her to be on immediately. So, you know, it's like, don't make your doctor God. And I'm not talking down doctors now. Doctors have saved my life. When I was in an automobile collision years ago, I needed a surgeon for 8 hours. But be very conscious. I remember one time I took Norman to the doctor. He had a polyp in his nose. And those of you that remember Norman, he had a very crooked nose. He always jokingly said there wasn't enough room in the womb because he was a twin, and that's he came out with a crooked nose. But no, he had it broken a couple of times. And the doctor actually turned to me angrily, and you know, didn't pay any attention to Norman and said, why didn't you bring him in here earlier with such a crooked nose all his life? And I looked at him and I said, I didn't come here to be spoken to that way. And he just went like that, you know, like, oh. But anyway, I digress a bit.